Hello, I'm Rebecca Robinson, your host for the More to Life podcast in West Kelowna. Stories of people's lives have always fascinated me, and I believe they're one of the best gifts we can give. Our testimonies on how God delivers us through challenges or dark places inevitably gives hope and can help others see a light at the end of their tunnel. Join me as I interview varied guests who bravely tell their stories for us to be encouraged by. Hey everyone, Happy New Year. We are now in 2026. I can't get used to saying that yet, but that's what's happened. So we have our first podcast interview of the year here with a young man named Brandon. And Brandon is a volunteer with the youth group, and he leads grade 7 boys, and he also works with Kingdom Kids on Sundays. You've definitely seen his face around, so I'm really looking forward to hearing more about what's inside in that head of yours. And so, yeah, here we go. I'll start with, like I usually do, when you were a wee one, can you tell us about, maybe paint a picture of your childhood and some significant things?
So I grew up in a small town, well, it's not small anymore, but small town of Chesimere, about 10 minutes out of Calgary.
Okay.
Very into hockey and sports and just kind of, you know, basic kid things, hanging out with their friends before iPhones took over.
Right.
No. I grew up, or I'm sorry, where it was a little hard growing up just because I have a lung condition. Mm-hmm. So I wasn't able to be like a lot of the normal kids, as in, you know, run for 20 minutes and,
right,
or do certain sports. I was only able to do hockey because you're able to, you know, you go on the ice for a hard minute or two, then you sit for 2 or 3 minutes to be able to catch, sure, up. Then I go back out and it worked. I wasn't able to play football or soccer or anything with running, just because I couldn't stay up.
What happened? How did you get that?
It's called bronchopulmonary dysplasia, or BPD. Mm. It's chronic lung disease for premature babies.
Oh.
So I was premature. And I guess I had like black liquidy, my lungs were basically black.
Oh, wow.
And they had to get me out, x-ray, do all the fun stuff, cameras, to see what's going on. And then when I was about 9 months old, I had to get surgery to get my right lower lobe taken out.
Wow.
And I was just hooked up to, this was in 98, so I had a bunch of machines hooked up to me, like from head to toe.
Aww.
Half of this room would have been full of machines.
Really?
Hooked,
wow,
up and in a little case, like a NICU case type thing.
Okay.
You know, you had to wear scrubs to touch me.
So right after you were born, this was what you went through?
Well, it was basically got out and shipped off to the children's hospital.
Aw, for so how long was that?
I was basically in and out of the hospital for about 4 years. And when I was home, it was almost like a hospital in the house. Oxygen tanks, those finger monitor,
yeah,
heartbeat things.
Yeah.
I'm sure it was very scary for my parents.
Were you their first child?
Third and last child.
Oh, wow. Very hard.
So it was, someone was with me always, whether it was grandparents or my parents, whether in the hospital or not. And I had to go back to the hospital quite a lot for either tests or just, emergencies.
Wow.
So that was a very big event. It still affects me today. It's affected my immune system and my, just rate of breath in general.
Really?
Like if you get sick, for example, it might take you a day or two to get over the cold. It'll probably, mm-hmm, take me about a week.
Mm-hmm.
Or if we both were to run up a set of stairs, I'd probably be hyperventilating if, wow, I were to just run.
Yeah.
So, and that was kind of like through my whole childhood. And of course, when you're young, you overextend it and you overplay it and overdo it.
You try to figure out if this, mm-hmm, will push you, how far can you push your limits?
Exactly.
Yeah, well, that's hard, you know, as a young boy, because you, mm-hmm, want to be active and go, go, go.
And then, I was like that.
Yeah, and then you got setbacks. Mm-hmm. So did that bring you down a lot, or how did you cope with that?
So when I had to, because I was so far behind in just normal baby growing, right. I had to go to school or some sort of schooling to learn how to walk and talk to catch up. Mm. And what are shapes and what are all these things. Mm. I don't remember the place because I was so young. So my brain is like, oh, they put me in a box and there's just colors and shapes. Probably not correct.
How old were you for that?
Probably like two.
Oh, or okay. Three,
so
yeah.
Probably I don't remember much of it.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. I had to go to a special needs school in grade one just to where there's like eight kids in a classroom with four teachers.
Wow.
Just to catch up and to school. And then I got thrown into public school where I was in a class of 40 with two teachers in grade two. And that was a lot because I came from a special needs school where it's like
so small and quiet.
Small. And it's like if you're in a fight with someone or just if you meet someone new, it's like hug time.
Aww.
And, instead of shaking hands or a high five, it's like, oh, give me a big hug. Mm-hmm. I learned the hard way. That's not what you do in public school. So academically, I was one of the best kids.
Okay.
Socially, I was way off. I got bullied a lot to the point where the parents and teachers decided to send me back a grade in public. So I moved back to grade one for the last couple months.
Even though you were academically strong, they put you back a grade.
Just for social, because I was getting really bad bullying.
Why would you be the one that's punished and not the
other? It's hard to punish 30 plus kids.
Oh, wow, that's a lot.
Like the whole grade.
What kinds of things did you go through?
The typical bullying, you know, teasing and stuff. And then they would make fun of like just how I talked and how I was walking and how I was just how I was socially, you know, be excluded from groups.
Right.
If it's like, if there's gifts for everybody, I wouldn't get one, all that, you know, just typical. Right.
The Valentine's Day type
thing. Yeah, all that fun stuff.
Thankfully, that's changed in the school system. But
yeah, lots have changed.
That's such formative years to have to go through that and deal with that.
Yeah, and that was my first trip into public school too. Yeah. So I was like, oh, this is fun. And then moved back to grade one, actually, oddly enough, fit in better, which was... It was good. Obviously, I knew all the answers, so I kept getting in trouble for blurting out answers.
Oh.
But, and then I redid grade two. Same thing. It was good. And I adapted a lot better. And then I stayed with all those kids until all the way to grade 12, basically.
Oh, wow. Okay. What was your home life like? Were you raised in a church setting? Or?
No.
Okay.
But no Sunday mornings, no youth, no... no, nothing. It was just public school, hockey, world stuff.
Right.
It's kind of weird. Like I had morals growing up. I wasn't like all the rest of the kids. I wasn't drinking or smoking or having sex or anything like the typical hockey boys would.
Right.
I always kind of had this like moral of like, no sex till marriage, just ingrained in my brain. Just like, that's not right. I also can't smoke because of my lungs, so that probably helps.
Yeah.
But I also just don't feel the need to do it. They're like, oh, try the gummies. And I'm like, nah, I'm good. Don't know what it'll do. Don't really need it.
Yeah.
Treat others how you want to be treated. Obviously, I lost my temper a lot because, you know, you're a teenager. You're not going to be a saint.
No, a lot of emotions and hormones.
And obviously, right? I think I grew up perfect, but I'm sure I had issues. I did get to the only church-y experience I had was when I was around 11, 12, 13, where I went to this Bible camp that my parents sent me to just because they didn't, I don't know if they knew it was a Bible camp or just it's a summer camp. You know, there's power tubing, there's archery. You get to stay a week, hang out with some buddies. So that's what I started with. But then they had this thing called Fireside. I think people here call it chapel time. And that's where, you know, you'd hear a message, you'd sing some songs, jump up and down, do some camp stuff. And I really enjoyed that part of it a lot, a little more than the power tubing, but it's pretty hard to beat when you're 12 years old.
But you remember it, like it still stuck with you for that one week.
I still have my Bibles and my notebooks from there just covered in duct tape because...
Wow.
They had duct tape in class and I decided to duct tape everything.
It's going to last forever.
And I still have all my notes and all my doodles and all my signatures from camp. And
that's really neat.
It still sticks with me.
Yeah. And that was in your hometown.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, cool. And so your teenage years were pretty full of hockey and good mm-hmm. times. And so what happened after you graduated? Where did you head off to, or what'd you do?
So in grade 12, my parents ended up, or grade 11 and 12, my parents ended up moving here to Kelowna. Because mm-hmm. We used to vacation here all the time, once a week or once a year.
Yeah.
In the summer. And so they're familiar with this place. So fortunately we lost our family business. So they moved out here. And because I was only going into grade 12, they didn't want to take me to a new school for your graduation.
Oh.
So I stayed with my grandma.
Oh, wow.
And lived with her. And then I decided to move in with my best friend, and her family. She was like my sister.
Wow. Yeah.
So, and that was like their third child. Almost. Yeah. So I was with them, throughout grade 12, and then once we graduated, I moved in with my other friend. I moved around a lot for 4 years. I moved in with my friend, and I got accepted into SAIT, the Technical Institute for Architectural Technologies. Mm-hmm. Did that for a diploma, so for 2 years, got my degree or diploma, moved in with another friend. I worked construction just to have a job.
Mm-hmm.
And since nothing was really going on, my parents decided, why don't you just come down here, see what happens.
Right.
Might be 2 weeks, might be longer, and I'm still here, so it's definitely longer. that's kind of like my high school, past high school.
Okay. So what was a turning point for you that brought you, through COVID and through college years, and then suddenly you're feeling like you need something else? What brought you here is what I'm trying to get to, I guess, to Emmanuel.
So unfortunately, nothing giant or nothing, no big spiritual moment, big traumatic thing or anything. It was simply, I live in Glen Rosa. The church is the first thing you see when you come up the giant hill into West Kelowna.
Yeah.
And for a year and a half going to work, I would constantly keep staring at it. And then not thinking anything of it. And then in 2021, it really drew my attention. And I kept staring and just kept looking, just kind of started wondering, okay, well, I went to the camp, so I know, God. I know I had a theory about him, and, I had morals. I had, I was familiar with it, but I didn't really look into
it. I'm living a good life.
I maybe read, 20 verses in my life at the time, and they were all probably from camp.
Right.
And it just kept drawing me closer and closer. And then one day, I have no idea what it's called. Let me just search it up and see, pick the right one. Cause there is a bunch of churches around here. I seen that because it's 21, they decided to do online services and recorded them. So I checked a couple of ones that recently happened, and I was yeah, this sounds good. It doesn't sound like a self-help talk. It actually sounds fulfilling.
Yeah.
It was Jeff at the time, and he's waving his arms around and having a grand old time on stage. And I was really eating it up, and I was okay, this sounds really good. And then at the end of every service online, Phil does this little blurb of, if you have any questions, email the church. If you want to give your life, et cetera. And I was what's the worst going to happen? Sure. Send them an email. And within 24 hours, I got an email back saying, hi, Brandon, love to meet up and have coffee.
Mm-hmm.
It was nothing out of the ordinary, just as simple as that. I was okay, cool. Picked to figure out a time. And then went to Phil's second office, which is Friend.
The coffee shop Friend.
Yes, he loves it. And actually my first... And this will engrave in my brain always, and I always like to remind him. He loves his motorcycle.
Mm-hmm.
My first time, my brain, when I thought of a pastor was, they're wearing robes and they have the collar. I didn't know
the difference.
My knowledge for church was in movies.
Yeah.
So I'm expecting him to drive some beat up car or some whatever. No, it's he doesn't want to, he almost cuts me off in traffic because I'm going so slow.
Oh, that's funny.
And he's in a motorcycle. and he's in a leather, his leather jacket. And then I lock eyes and he's like, Brandon? I'm like, Phil? He's like, yeah. I'm like, you're a pastor? And then we chatted outside for like 2 hours. And I was expecting, you know, I had my head down. I'm expecting a lot of like churchy questions and like, you know, I got to get this guy in here. I got to fill like the seats. Like a
sales job kind of thing. Yeah.
No, we didn't start talking about God for like an hour. He just wanted to know who I was, what I do, who I am as a person. And then started asking the question, okay, why did you email us? What's going on with you? Do you have any history? And he really guided me into it. And I liked what he said. He was answering everything I threw at him. Very like, not like he like memorized cue cards with it. It actually just was very genuine and very honest. And I was like, wow, okay. And then he said, do you want to give your life? And at that time I was like, okay.
Wow. At that first meeting?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay, Phil.
I was kind of just like, yeah, sure. Okay. I didn't really know what that meant.
Yeah.
I was like, okay. Now realizing I am glad I did. And he's like, oh, okay, great. Also your coffee is on us. And I was like, yay, free coffee. And then of course, like nonchalantly just says, come to the church, like come to a service. You know, you watch it online, come. And I go, okay. It took about a month. It took like two months for me to finally build up the courage to come here. I still watch the services online and meet with him he would meet with me every single Wednesday. Cause that was my day off. Just for coffee and questions.
In those 2 months that you were trying to get
every time. And he would keep inviting me. He wouldn't pressure me like, you have to show up. Like, come on, I've been meeting with you.
No.
It was just, hey, I haven't seen you. Are you still thinking about coming? Are you, everything okay? I'm like, yeah, just, I'm trying. And he goes, okay, no pressure. And he answered probably like 200 of my questions. From some of them might have been just really random. And I wanted to know
things. Well, it's so great though to get into it that way. Because if you go to Sunday service, you're sitting there and you're being spoken to.
Yes.
But there's no time for us to just go up there and say, okay, now I have 10 questions to go
and
over
that
sermon.
And he would answer all of them, even if he didn't preach on it. Yeah. And then I finally built up the courage and came in, said hi to like two people. I don't even know who I said hi to. Sat in the very back in the dark, listened to the service. I was like, this is good. I also don't know how they're coming up with all these things and pulling verses out of a thin air, and it all comes together. And I was like, oh, okay. And then left. And then I would come back and I would leave. And then slowly build up the courage to sit closer and closer and closer.
Yeah.
And that's when I was in the middle row, at the very end by myself, you know, twiddling my thumbs, looking very awkward probably, and looking like a newbie. And that's when, like, Caleb and all the young adults and young people my age, where we sit now on the left side, he seen me. I didn't know who Caleb was.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, come sit here. I was like, okay. Sat with him. He introduced me to, like, everybody. I said I was new. And he, like, took me under his wing. And he was just like, hey, this is... You know, this is Megan, this is Brody, this is James, everybody.
Nice, yeah.
I'm the youth pastor. I go, oh, okay, you're the pastor, okay. And then actually, ironically, he preached the next week. So I was like, oh, this is cool, okay.
Good guy, yeah.
And I don't think, I've told him a couple times, but I don't think he realizes, like, that tiny move of just, hey, come sit with us was huge. Because at that time, I didn't have anything. I was just kind of like just here listening to him. And I was like, this is great, but I don't have anyone to talk to. This is, everyone's like older or married or like way different fields of life. So I felt very, you know, in the corner, in the dark. Like, it's like, I believe this stuff. This sounds great, but.
But you come and you go and it's quiet and that's it, right?
Yeah. And then that's when he did that, and then, you know, started meeting with Jeff, and then started meeting or continuing to meet with Phil, and then Caleb a couple times was like, hey, let's hang out.
Right on.
And not just hang out, like, let's have a coffee, like, let's go do something.
Yeah.
I think we did an escape room or something. It was really fun. But the funny part is I think I was going to the church here for a month and a half, and I would keep telling my parents I was going to the card shop down the road.
Really?
They could believe it because I could spend 2 hours there easily, and I did. But I was just scared to hear what I didn't know, because no one in my family does it.
Yeah,
and I was just scared of, like, what are they going to do? Well, am I going to get kicked out?
It would mean shaking something that's been stable for you, right? And that possibly, too. Right? You don't want to do that too soon. And
ironically, of course, you know, when you're worrying about something that might happen, they were just like, oh, okay, cool. Sounds good. Oh, right. Good to know you're not wasting thousands of dollars at the card shop. And I was like, well, that's what you're worried about more so. And they're like, yeah, that's perfectly fine.
Yeah.
That's good. Good for you.
Nice.
I was
wonderful.
Like, oh, okay. That went better than I thought. I don't know what to say now. I gotta buy.
Well, it can go both ways, but you know, you can have that fear, and also Satan wants you to have that fear to keep things shut up tight inside.
I had to just rip the band-aid off and say, okay, this is what I was doing. And they're like, okay, good. I'm like, oh, okay, that went well.
And so how many years ago was this?
So that was
2021. You said 21. You started.
I think I met with Phil in August, and I didn't show up here until like end of October-ish or middle of October.
Right.
So a little bit. So around that time, yeah.
Wow, that's a great introduction. It's helpful to hear, I think, for people. You know, for me, because I just grew up in the church, it was something natural. It was just always there. It was our every day, every Sunday, I should say. And I admire people that in later years in life are drawn to churches and make that leap and walk through the door. And as an adult, you know, like trying to figure out what this is all about, and do I want this? Do I feel pressured? Do I feel welcomed? You know, am I going to just, and to keep coming, even though you don't know the community, and to just, you know, I think that's, it's commendable to me because I've never experienced that. So that could be, you know, I think it holds people, well, it holds you back for a while because you're driving by and you're like, oh, there's something about that building. Mm-hmm. You're not the first person that said that, actually. My interview last month, he said, I just kept coming up on that hill and there was that church and it just kept drawing me in. And I'm just, you know, you feel what God is doing inside, but you don't recognize it until you know God, right?
Yeah, I had, hopefully it was great.
Anybody listening who maybe is not a Christian, if you just feel these kinds of niggles or... what would you describe that like?
It was just like a pulling almost, like right. I could have looked at the giant red building,
Buckerfield's.
Yeah, right, that one. Right. I could have looked at the shell. I could be
yeah, exactly
looking straight ahead at the car probably in front of me, which was probably smarter. No, it was instantly just to the right.
Yeah,
every time.
Yeah.
Just there we go. Oh
yeah.
Every time. And that was before they had the Emmanuel sign, actually, because that's why I had to search up because I didn't know what it was called.
Oh,
at that time.
Yeah. Okay. 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 Yeah. A soft guiding.
Yes.
Could be
yes.
Determined or defined. Like, that's great. And so your relationship with God, then you've accepted Jesus outside a friend and you're slowly talking and getting all your questions answered. Did you kind of have any kind of shift, like a spiritual awakening or a Holy Spirit more in your life than just the head knowledge?
I definitely had the Holy Spirit burning. Like I had the, Phil had to really grind this out of me of, Brandon, it's not a checklist.
Right. Yeah.
It's a relationship.
And
I go,
yeah.
Oh, okay. But by the way, I did all this stuff. I'm new. I had no
You're doing it like a student,
yes.
Right? Yeah.
And it's just how I grew up. I would go to the teacher. Am I doing this right? And he's right. Like, go sit down. This is the 20th time. Yeah. Yes, you are. It's like, I know, but I want to make sure. So I'd be like, okay, I got rid of all. I stopped following all these bad accounts. I deleted this account. I stopped listening to this music. I downloaded this music. Et cetera, et cetera. Yeah. I bought a Bible. Oh, no. Phil bought me a Bible. But I was like, I'm reading the Bible. I'm doing this. This is good. He goes, yes, this is all good, but it's not a checklist. But it was just, I had that.
There's steps that you took, right?
And I had this like fire under me of just, not like you got to do it, just like this exciting one. It was just like, what more can I do? What more can I?
A hunger for it.
Yeah, definitely. That's the word I was looking for.
Yeah.
The hunger for it. Like, yay, I'm doing this. I'm finding out more Christian artists. I'm finding pastors online that are really good. I'm listening to podcasts. You know, this is all great. I'm meeting with coffee with the pastors at my church. This is really great. And then it you know, then you hit that, okay, I did this all, now you just got to live the life. And I definitely struggled with that the first time it hit. And I was asking him, I'm like, well, you guys have been Christians your whole life. How? They're like, what do you mean? I'm like, how do you just live life? Like, you did everything. You don't follow bad accounts. You don't, you don't do any of the, like, you don't do the sinful nature, like, the worldly stuff.
Right.
And they're like, oh, that's easy. You just be guided by the Holy Spirit and just follow kind of what the Bible says. And I was like, oh, okay. So I started reading the Bible more. And then then I started to definitely feel the spiritual warfare and the spiritual, the worldly starting to really pull me back in. Like, okay, you had your fun. Mm. You had your little moments. Now let's come back to reality and be the Brandon you have been at, I think it was, what, 22? Mm. 22 or 23 at the time, like, for the last 20 plus years. Mm. Be that Brandon. You're comfortable. It's good. So I still do, you know, like everyone does. You still fight with that.
What would you say to people that are in this situation that are kind of wondering, like, okay, I live a moral life. I have morals. I didn't believe in this. I don't want to do that because I know it would probably hurt me or there's consequences to this or that. Versus now I'm a Christian. Now I have this belief system. Now I have this relationship with God. Because some people will say, well, I'm a good person. Like, I am a moral person. So what was the difference that you felt happened?
I definitely felt, what really helped me is having the community with me, like being able to ask the questions and get actual genuine answers. And then, of course, doing my own research. I didn't just, like, I believed what I was being told by my friends and by the pastors, but I also didn't just take their word and go, oh, okay, cool. Mm. This is great. I actually read the Bible and prayed and read it again and read it again and just coming back. And then it's cliche, but I know they say it's the living word of God, and they say that for a reason. Mm. Like, I've read the Bible four times now.
Mm. Wow.
And each time, like, I'm going on
four times.
Yeah, I'm going on my fifth.
So you're like less than a year, you're digesting this really
but
fast.
But even though I'm going on my fifth go of it, it's almost like I'm reading it for the first time. It's like, oh yeah, I've heard this before. But God really goes, okay, yes, you have, but you haven't heard it in this way. Or you weren't experiencing this in your life at that time. Mm. Or maybe, oh, you can give advice to someone else through this passage or chapter I'm reading at the time. And every time I reread it or even hear a random verse, it really connects with what my life is going through.
Wow.
And, or something, sometimes I feel God is just like smacking me in the back of the head, like, okay, smarten up. This is what you need to hear, even if I don't like it. Or if it's just, okay, if I'm sad, if I'm happy, like, the verses really go with what I'm feeling. So I would just simply tell people to just read, start with a chapter, start with a verse, start with something, and it will really change you. Because God will, that's how you hear from God.
Yeah.
That's not like when you pray, how I feel is when you pray, that's you talking to God. Mm-hmm. And when you read the Bible, that's God responding to what you're saying.
Hmm. That's beautiful. And it's so good for me to hear because you've read the Bible through more times than I have, and I've been a Christian for now, well, almost 50 years. And that's something, you know, that's that initial fire and that passion versus like this long, slow burn of learning. It's inspiring. It's inspiring because we can get complacent, believe me, where you just say, oh, yeah, I got it. I know. But the way you said it's different ways that God speaks to you at different times in your life or for different people that you're encountering, or, you know, you didn't read it this way before because you weren't experiencing it yet. I just love that. Yeah. It's a great way to look at it. And so you mentioned that the pastors have helped you along the way. How has this kind of affected, you know, your relationship with your parents at all? Is it just,
there's,
talk about it with them?
Oh yeah, they still, we still have the same relationship as ever. Like, I am close with my parents. I help them when I can. They help me. I'm living with them still right now, just because rent's expensive.
Yeah.
Nothing's really changed dramatically. I still invite them to church. They usually just go, we're busy, or just no. Mm-hmm. But which is, it's okay. Mm-hmm. But they don't treat me any different. They don't feel any different mm-hmm. towards me, and vice versa. Mm-hmm. I still treat them with a lot of respect, even before I was a Christian, though.
Of course,
You know, if my dad gives me a look, it's like, oh, it's my nap. Or if I hear that, I'm not mad, I'm disappointed.
Yeah. Well, you're honoring your father and mother.
Yeah. And I was doing that even well before, before I even knew what that meant.
Before you read that verse.
Yeah.
Cool. So what Bible verse then, since you've definitely looked into it, has had an impact on your journey?
So the Bible verse I chose was 2 Corinthians 5:17. Uh-huh. Ironically,
he talked about it today.
Jeff just preached on this verse today. Mm-hmm. Of course he did. But the reason I chose it is there was a Christian rapper named Lecrae, and he has a song called Tell the World. Mm-hmm. And at the very end of the song, he says this verse. And I heard that when I was 12, when I was at Bible camp, I was asking some of the leaders, like, okay, well, like, I don't want to listen to, like, the worldly music and the really bad stuff. Because at that time, you know, I was listening to swears galore and, you know, normal kids things.
Yeah.
But they're like, oh, you like rap? I'm like, yeah. I'm like, oh, check out Lecrae. I'm like, oh, okay. So I searched him up. That was the first song I heard the verse. And it's just stuck with me. Hmm. Ever since, it's like the first verse I memorized, and it's just a really good verse to think about.
You want to tell
us any time of the day. It's therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old is gone, and the new is here. And it's just, if I'm feeling down, if I'm feeling like I'm falling back into old habits, old ways, it's like, no, I'm a new creation. The old Brandon's gone. I'm the new again. And it's stayed in the Bible, and it's stayed in my life. And it's just, it's always gotten me through, definitely when I'm going through the spiritual warfare, but also just when I hear it, I go back to when I was 12, like when I heard about God and Jesus and everything for the first time at camp, with surrounded by a bunch of teenagers, and we're all jumping and having a grand old time, and very innocent and very, it was just, I was just happy. Mm-hmm. So it always just makes me happy when I hear it.
Mm-hmm. That's wonderful. Can you describe, I might be putting you on the spot though, like a little bit as a newer Christian, if you were speaking to somebody who wasn't yet, because you were also there, how would you describe spiritual warfare?
Definitely. I think it depends on what each person's going through at the time. But it's definitely what I feel like it's when something seems more fun that you're not supposed to do. And by not supposed to, it's like looking at certain things online that you know you're not supposed to, but it's right there. Or, you know, everyone does it. Right. Or you see it driving by on billboards. Or if your buddy asks you, oh, we're going to a party this weekend, and there might be a drink, and you know, everyone drinks when they're over 18. Oh, no, it's 19 in BC. everyone drinks when after 19. It's no big deal. It's just one beer. It's just one this, or a gummy, or even just gossiping. Like, just, you know, especially at school or at work, it, or even if you're just talking with your best friend. Like, it's so easy to just let it just happen, because it's so natural, and they're not going to hear about it, or they're not nothing. And it's just so easy to just get caught up in it. Mm-hmm. And it's what I feel like when it's the warfare part is realizing, no, this is not okay. I can't do this. And I live for God and Jesus, and he does things away, like a complete 180 or 180. compared to what the world is. Now, it's not like a set of rules, as in, okay, this is like, you got to follow these rules and you're good to go. It's the rules, what the Bible shows is just a really good way to live. And it's very peaceful, and it's very, like, honorable to live. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sustains us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Build each other up, because it's like the golden rule, you know, treat others how you want to be treated. You don't want people gossiping about you. You don't want people to know you as a liar or know you as a drunk or as a something. Like, that's not good. You want them to know as a caring person, someone with a good sense of humor, very positive things. That's what you want to be known as. Mm-hmm. And I definitely struggle with, like everybody, with, you know, whether it be sometimes the gossip, sometimes, you know, lust in the eyes, and it happens, you know, worldly things definitely pull you away from God, like certain movies, certain music. It's like, oh, it's a good song. Let's turn it
Our
up.
World is really set up for that.
Yeah. it has a good beat. Yeah. But you don't listen to the words. Right. And then you realize what they mean. Mm. But then it's like, it's flicking that switch of, okay, yeah, this is great, but you got to deny yourself, take up your cross every day, and live for Jesus.
And the result is, for you, has been a more satisfying, happy, joy-filled, peaceful life.
Like, obviously, I love my hockey. I love watching my nephew play. I love watching my hockey team play or going to a Rockets game.
Yeah.
And it's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
But definitely my highlights are coming to church on a Sunday morning, you know, hearing a really good message and seeing my friends in the community get together and catch up. And then Wednesdays are just, it's a blast seeing the kids grow. Because I've known since they were up in Kingdom Kids, and seeing them now come to you, it's not a lot of time, but it's for a kid, that's a long time.
Yeah.
And just seeing them grow and seeing them, you know, raise their hand for the first time if they're accepting God, or raising their hand in worship, or just seeing them discover God. We had one kid, Caleb does this like hot dog initiative where the middle school kids will come to him.
Oh yeah.
And then they'll come to the church and just hang out for a bit, and if they want to, stay for youth.
Yeah.
We had this one kid within a year, met for a hot dog, came to drop in, wouldn't leave, wanted to stay, heard a message. And then he eventually came to YG, which is a giant youth conference. And this one would have been in Abbotsford at the time. He ended up giving his life to God, and he's just, and then in the summertime, he was a, I don't know what they're called, like a youth leader.
Wow.
Teenager youth. Yeah, I don't know. I forgot what they're called. Mm-hmm. All in 1 year. And just seeing that was just like, whoa.
Yeah.
When I went to my first YG conference, I like broke down in tears. I'm like, I wish I had this growing up. Mm-hmm. I wish I stayed. I wish I kept God growing up in my normal school, and wish I went to youth. And I guess sometimes when I'm at youth now, I almost am like, there's sometimes I got to remember I'm a youth leader and not the kid, and not in acting immature. Just like, I'm sitting there listening to Caleb and I'm like, oh yeah. And it's, oh no, I'm the leader. No, wait, no, I'm not the kid. Caleb's not just talking to me. He's talking to everybody else. Right, but sometimes I just get caught up in just being that 12-year-old again, and just, and really soaking in like what Caleb would say, or what the other leaders would say, and then have to snap back to, no, I'm the leader too. I can say things too.
I think it's fine to be, you know, to put yourself in a 12-year-old's position too. And how is this received, and what are they thinking and feeling? I mean, as a teacher, I teach middle school, and I have to do that a lot. And I also become somewhat like, you know, the attitude and the sarcasm of my students, like I can fall into that. Yeah. I'm no problem. And then the stuff that I don't like, it's like,
well, yeah,
I'm an adult now. Like, let's stop this. that's great. You've been probably such a huge influence that you won't even know on these kids' lives. And so,
no, and I might not know for many years. I might know tomorrow. Like, you never know.
Yeah, yeah.
I did have a couple of kids at YG, like, out of the blue, like ran up to me. And I was like, oh no. Usually when I get ran up, my hat gets stolen or I get tackled. I'm like, oh, okay, whatever.
Right.
No, they came and two of them came and ran and gave me a giant hug and said, thank you for what you do. And I was like, oh, okay. I didn't even know what to say.
That's,
I was like,
amazing.
No worries.
Yeah, and coming up and hugging you. And oh, I love that.
And it was
that.
Just like, whoa, this is great. Like, okay, so I am making a difference in such a short time. And obviously, like, my goal is, obviously, I want every kid to find God. Sometimes, like me, when I was 12 was when I first heard about it, and I didn't do anything with it until I was for 11 plus years. Mm-hmm. It took 11 years to finally go, oh, okay, never mind. I actually need this and I want this. Mm-hmm. And some of these kids might come here just for the canteen and some games and hang out with their buddies. And then maybe 10 years later, they're like, oh, that meant something.
Yeah.
And we'll never know, but yeah. God will.
Yeah, exactly. Setting them up for that. And so what encouragement would you offer to those listening today that may have, you know, either not or are driving by a manual and going, maybe I should go in there?
I'd say just as blunt as it sounds, just do it. Mm-hmm. Open your Bible, read a passage, or just pray. It doesn't have to be this giant,
perfect
prayer like a pastor would give, yeah. But just a simple, you know, God, if you're real, help me here. Should I go? Anything, just mm-hmm. take that as a little step. It might seem like a little step, but it actually is a giant step. Even mm-hmm. like for me to search online, that's just as simple as, you know, you grab your phone and go, okay, Emmanuel Church. Okay, cool. Find their website.
Yeah.
But that was a huge step, because if I didn't do that, I wouldn't have found the video, which then with Phil's blurb to message the church, I wouldn't have found that, and yeah. none of this probably would have happened. Mm-hmm. I would definitely, for encouragement for people, would say to take that leap, take that small step forward, mm-hmm. Give it a chance, because it will change your life. Mm-hmm. And you never know who you'll meet if you don't, and you'll never know. Take that little chance.
Mm-hmm. And he has in store for you too. You're still finding out.
Oh, I'm still, even today, like even with being in youth, and now there's been chances of me wanting to maybe go to Summit for whatever mm-hmm. reason, or just see what life has in store.
Yeah.
Or what God has in store, I should say.
Yeah. But it's exciting.
Oh, yes.
It feels like it's, you know, following God's path for you is... that's it. That's really what we're here for. Because that's going to be the best life that we can
get. Oh, it's nice to know that you don't have to plan your own life. It's already...
Yeah.
He has a plan for you.
Yeah, definitely. Is mm-hmm. there anything that I've not asked that you want to add?
I'd say to anyone listening to read at least a verse every day.
Okay.
Read mm-hmm. a chapter if you want to. Just read the Bible in some way, shape, or form, or follow a Bible verse account on social media, mm-hmm. something, so you get at least something in you every day of God talking to you, and you can ponder on that one verse all day, because I know some might not read their Bibles maybe once a month, mm-hmm. if that, or once a week, but then you can pray on it. You can hear, because that one, or read what God wants to maybe hear. Because that one verse might completely change your whole perspective on the week. It might encourage you. It might help you in that one situation. Or just makes you want to read more. Mm-hmm. And I would honestly say, like, the Bible is God's word. And that's how he speaks to you. And if you don't read it, well, then you're only talking to him. You're not really hearing what he has to say back.
Yeah, being open to hear what he wants to mm-hmm. tell you through his word, yeah. To chew on those things all week, I like mm-hmm. that. That's wonderful. Well, Brandon, it was great to meet you more personally now, because I know your face.
Yeah.
thank you so much for volunteering.
Fun.
Yeah, it'll reach a lot of people too. And share it with your youth, for sure.
I'm sure they'll make fun of it.
Then they might tackle you.
Yeah, more ammo.
Yeah, that's right. Okay, thank you so much.
No worries.